Dear friends in Christ, it's natural for us to doubt things that are extraordinary. Try to think about something you heard and you're like, no way, that can't be true. Or think about Thomas, how he's like, there's no way that Jesus is alive. So that's kind of a common type of thing, but I'm excited today to encourage you to always believe God's promises. Very important for all of us at all times in our lives. So going to the setting here, we have to go back to the 9th century before Christ, and we have to think about the nation of Israel and understand it was divided at that time. We had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and understand that in the north, they had had a number of different kings ruling over the north, and every one of them was disobedient to the Lord. Every one of them was wicked. But now we come to King Ahab. Notice what the Bible says there. Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. So the evil has become so great that now it's important that the Lord God Almighty intervenes here in order to try to check the evil. Maybe that's like in hockey where you drive the player into the wall. Boy, the Lord is going to get the attention of Ahab by what Elijah is going to say to him. So coming to the second part here, we see that Elijah told the truth. So going to the beginning of chapter 17 now of 1 Kings, the Bible says, now Elijah, and keep in mind, this is because of the great wickedness of Ahab, Elijah said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. Now, today it's raining. Today we used water in baptism. We know that water is important. Now, sometimes it might not be convenient, but without rain, boy, things are going to be devastated. Think about the northern kingdom with no rain for years. If we look in the book of James, we find out it did not rain for 3.5 years. Can you imagine that? Now, Ahab is the king. Can you imagine the outcry from the people to the king because everything is dying? The whole area is devastated. So Ahab, of course, did not want to hear this news from Elijah, but he brought it upon himself by his great wickedness. That's what was going on. So now we come to the Lord's promise here. He told Elijah, hide yourself from Ahab by the brook Cherith and drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So quite a promise here, and we're not talking about the Baltimore Ravens either. We're talking about actual birds providing him with food. So it's an extraordinary thing. I want to go over a map here real quick. You might not be able to see it from where you are, but you can at least see the colors though. So if you take a look at the red color, that would be Samaria, and Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom. So it's highly likely that that's where Elijah was when he said these words to Ahab. And then, what did the Lord say to Elijah? He knew he would be in trouble, so now he tells him basically to go east about 28 miles to the brook Cherith. Why is that? Well, if it's not going to rain, everything is going to dry up. He needs water to be able to drink, so the Lord tells him, go there. So he goes ahead and goes there. Then a little bit later in the sermon, after the brook dries up, now he doesn't have any water. So then we're going to see where the Lord tells Elijah to go to Zarephath. That's the yellow arrow. That's a journey of about 50 miles. And we're going to find out why he goes there in just a moment. But it's extraordinary how things are so difficult, and yet the Lord, he's watching over Elijah. He's taking care of him. Let's know that even when our lives are difficult, even when we're living in the difficulties of the world, boy, the Lord is watching over us. He knows what's going on. And when we pay attention to him, that's going to be a great blessing for us. In the fourth part here, we see that Elijah obeyed. So he went there to the brook Cherith, and then the Bible says the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. That would seem to shoot that idea that we need to have three meals every day, doesn't it? The Lord is providing two meals a day here, a nice meal in the morning, a nice meal in the evening. Yeah, some food for thought. Well, it seemed impossible, didn't it, that these scavenger birds are going to bring this food, but they do it, and they do it so faithfully twice every day. When the Lord says something, he wants us to always believe it is true, no matter how crazy it might sound. Then in the fifth part, again, the Lord promised. So the Bible says, it happened after a while that the brook dried up. Why? Because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold," here's the promise, "I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Now, it was pretty crazy to think ravens would provide, but they did. Now, it's also crazy to think a widow would provide. Well, we'll have to see what happens. He tells him to go to the area of Sidon, where Zarephath is located. Why is this utter foolishness? Think about Ahab. What is the name of his wife? Jezebel. She is such an evil woman, and yet that's her birthplace up there in Sidon. And then that whole area up there, they're known for their great wickedness. It would have been like the Lord saying, "Hey, Elijah, I want you to go and hang out over there in Sodom and Gomorrah for a while." That's kind of what he was telling him. It didn't make any sense, but amazingly, though, Elijah listened, and Elijah did it. Here's a question for us. What have you done when a command of the Lord did not make sense? Now, I'm not talking about just some idea popping into our minds, but I'm talking, you're spending time in the Word of God, and you read a command of the Lord, and you know it's not something that's just like for a particular person or for a particular time, but you know it's for all people of all time. When you heard that command, are you like, "Okay, God said it, and I'm going to do it"? Or are you trying to, like, figure out how to get out of it? Figure out how to somehow in your own heart and mind explain how that's not for you. God doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to take his word in a most serious manner. Well, what did Elijah do? Well, Elijah did what didn't make sense. The Bible says he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." Imagine Elijah. Now, he doesn't have all the details here. The Lord simply told him, "Go to Zarephath, and this widow is going to provide for you." Isn't it interesting, though? He just gets inside the city. The first woman he sees, he talks to her. He doesn't know if she's a widow or not, but he sees her and he asks her for the water. And when she is willing to do that, then he adds on, "Oh, can I get a piece of bread too?" What could we say? We could say that Elijah, he believed the Lord's promise, so he took the necessary steps in order to receive the benefits. So he actually had to go to Zarephath, then he sees a widow, then he interacts with her, and so on. So he took these difficult steps, and the Lord greatly blessed him. What about us? What about all people in the world? What is God calling us to do in order to receive great blessings? God wants all of us to know we have sinned, we're in trouble, we can't fix it. So the Lord wants to save us. So what did Jesus say there in Mark chapter 1? He said, "Repent and believe the good news." So he wants us to be saved. He told us how to be saved. Repent and believe the good news. Now, ultimately, God is the one who has to work repentance in us. God is the one who has to work the gift of faith in us. But still, though, people have to be aware of their great need. They have to be aware of their sin. They have to be aware that they can't fix it. And then they're open. They're like, Lord, I'm in trouble and I don't know what to do. And then the Lord will work that repentance. The Lord will work that faith in Jesus. Or what about with peace? Peace is a great blessing. That means that whether we have a little or a lot, we can be at peace in every circumstance of life. How do we get that peace? It tells us in the Bible to trust in the Lord. Think about what it says in Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, "The steadfast of mind, thou wilt keep in perfect peace because he trusts in the kind of King James language on that one. But anyway, though, I think you can get what it's saying, though, is when we have this perfect trust in the Lord, then we're going to have perfect peace. That means that whether we're ill, whether our nation is collapsing, come whatever, we know it's going to be okay because we know that God is almighty. We know that God is in control. We know that God loves us. We know we're forgiven through Jesus. We know God has a plan for us. And we just have this peace knowing it's going to be okay. We have that peace that passeth all understanding. People are going to look at us and say, how could you possibly be at peace? Look at all this mess that's going on. Well, we can be at perfect peace when we have perfect trust in the Lord. The more we are growing, the more we are maturing in our faith, in the same way, the more we will grow and mature in that peace. He doesn't want anything to shake us in our lives. He wants us to trust in him and know it's going to be okay, no matter what. The woman here says now to Elijah, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. So if you think here for a moment, it hasn't rained for quite a while. The brook Cherith has dried up, and everyone in the northern kingdom is suffering. So that is where Elijah is now. He's in the northern kingdom. Everyone is greatly suffering. So the woman is saying that she doesn't even have any bread to offer him. What is the woman's plan? She knows that she has two containers. She has a little bit of oil in one container, a little bit of flour in the other container. She's gathering the sticks. She's going to mix those ingredients together. She's going to use the sticks and make a fire. She's going to make a tiny little loaf of bread. Her and her son are going to eat it. And that's absolutely it. There is no safety net. There are no friends. There are no family. There's no one to help them. That is it. They're going to eat that, and she understands, then we're going to starve to death. That was her situation. That was a huge problem. Well, now we come to the Lord's promise. Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it to me." Isn't that first word such a huge thing? If she makes for herself first, that will be the end of her food. If she steps out here in faith and does what makes no sense at all and makes first for Elijah, who is a stranger, she doesn't know this guy from anyone, if she makes for him first, then she might not even get a final meal. "Make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus the Lord God of Israel says, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." Doesn't that sound so impossible? It makes no sense at all to me, and maybe not to you either. So again, the question would be for us then, what do we do when we have this impossible situation before us and we know the word of the Lord, do we believe God no matter what, no matter how impossible it seems, we believe it? Or do we take our logic and we put it up here and we use our logic to cancel out the word of God? Many of you know Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So important. So when we're trusting in the Lord with all our heart, then we're like, Lord, I know you are God Almighty. I know the Bible is your word because you said it, I believe it, and that's it. I'm not going to waver on it. That would be trusting in the Lord with all our heart. Or are we going to see it and think, no way can that happen. I'm going to put my logic up here and I'm going to cancel out the word of God. We're so tempted to do that. May God help us to not do that. Let's see the woman's trust here. The Bible says she went and did according to the word of Elijah. Amazingly, she went and did it. And the Bible says she and he and her household, so that would be the widow, Elijah, and she had a son. She and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. So in the face of death here, the widow brought the bread first to Elijah, and then, because she stepped out in faith, the Lord did what he promised, and the oil and the flour did not run out until it rained. And understand, that could have been years. We don't know the time period here, but it could have been years because it did not rain for 3.5 years. So what about us? We're tempted to put our logic over the word of God. But what I'm trying to say to us today, no matter what we've all done in the past, that doesn't matter. Thank God in Christ it's forgiven. But whatever is in the past, that's done. But how about this, though? How about from today going forward, for you and for me, that we would stop putting our logic over the word of God, that we would turn from that, never to do it again, and that we would go forward as different people, understanding this is the word of God. We're going to be so firm with it that we're always going to hang on to the word of God, and we're going to take the word of God and use that to cancel out our logic. Let's do it that way. Let's use the word of God to cancel out our logic. May God help us. And how do we show that we're doing that? Well, we show it by putting the word of God into practice. That's what Elijah did. The Lord told him, go here, go there. Elijah did it. The Lord told the woman, give the bread to Elijah first and then make for yourself. So they were putting the word of God into practice, and God richly blessed them. May God help us to always grow in the word, to know it better and better, and to put it into practice, never to earn our way to heaven, nothing like that, but simply to thank and honor our great God who has given us the gift of heaven because of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. He is the Lamb of God. He took away the sin of the world. Now, doesn't that take a lot of faith to believe that? You're telling me that this Jewish man who died on a cross 2,000 years ago, that somehow through him, I'm going to be with God forever? That sounds pretty crazy, doesn't it? But by the grace of God, I believe that, and I hope and pray that you believe it too. Yeah, in conclusion, so the widow believed what seemed impossible, the Lord provided. Therefore, when God's forgiveness seems impossible, we know we don't deserve it. We know it's much more wonderful than we ever should have. And yet, let us be sure that we have it through Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for making us your own through Jesus, even as you made Ivy your own today through holy baptism. Now, whenever we are weak, we pray that you would make us strong, and wherever we are wavering in our lives in anything, move us, help us, strengthen us to always believe your promises. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.